And joining me in the KRVS studios now are members of the theatrical group, the Tea Sippers. Used to be able to say they're all in high school, but Andrew Lee Vincent, who's with us, has just graduated from high school. Also with us in the studio are Caitlin Romero and Brandy Champagne, who are still in high school.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We're going to be seniors.
All right. School starts tomorrow, I think, Pa. So you'll have a lot to think about in addition to this production that you're doing as the Tea Sippers. Many people in our audience have heard you here before for widely diverse offerings that you have, including your 70 scenes of Halloween that you did for 3 years running. I think you've kind of finished that. You're not going to be repeating that this year?
No,
no
ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But really interesting plays that you've been doing, and I think many people very impressed, and you hate to say that, by your youth in tackling some very sophisticated performances. You're doing The Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet. It's based on Shakespeare. It is Shakespeare. Tell us about that.
I adapted it about a year ago, and we were going to do it a year ago. And then some things happened, and we changed our schedule a little bit, and we decided we were going to do it this summer. It's half Shakespearean. It's half modern text. It's based completely off of Romeo and Juliet. The plot stays, for the most part, true to the original story. Of course, some things are changed. It is a bit of a satire. It's a parody of it. I hate to say the word parody because then people think, you know, certain elements of a parody. Yeah. But
well, maybe to help people, as you're describing it, it sounds a bit like the idea behind Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where you have the Shakespeare text, but then the other text, which can be quite humorous, and it really intertwines. It may not be exactly the same, but there's...
No, it's definitely the same sort of idea. Mm-hmm. It's the characters are... I don't know how to say this.
It's fused together of what Shakespeare wrote and what we've interpreted from his text, and we've put it into modern day so that hopefully it's a little bit easier to understand than the original text and plot.
Okay, but you retain some of the original text,
certainly.
But add.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's one of those things where in high school you read Romeo and Juliet. You generally read it in your freshman year of high school. And no one wants to read it. No one wants to sit through it. No one wants to listen to the tape recording of this man playing all the characters. No one wants to hear it. One, because they can't understand it. And two, because it's an audio recording.
And because it's written the way that it's written, it goes over most kids our age's heads. It just goes right over it, and they don't understand that, they don't retain it, and they don't appreciate the beauty that is Shakespeare's language. Mm-hmm. And we've tried to culminate old and new so that they can not only understand it but appreciate it, and hopefully it'll help them if they ever have to read anything else by Shakespeare.
Well, that must have been some very interesting choices you made, like which language to keep in, which sentences do you want people to experience in the original language, and which to change.
Some of it, there are moments in the show where one of the characters will say something in Shakespearean and the other person will say, I have no idea what you're saying. And so they'll explain it a little bit more, and they'll say, no, I still don't understand what you're saying.
Can you give us an example of the line from Shakespeare?
What does Romeo say that Benvolio – alas, whose view is muffled still, should without eye see pathways to
His will.
And Benvolio says, I'm sorry, go ahead. And Romeo says, would you like me to repeat that? And Benvolio says, yeah, go ahead. And so he says it again, and Benvolio says, No, I'm still not getting it. And so they play charades at that point to try and kind of interpret what's going on. It's a joke for people to understand. Well, one, it was never a spoken language during that time ever. It was a language that Shakespeare used because it was pretty, it was entertaining, it got people to come to the theater. Also, the subject matter is humorous if you think about it. For instance, the nurse in the play and the friar in the play they're hysterical in the original. Mm-hmm. In the original text, they're hysterical, but people overlook that, like Caitlin said, because they can't decipher the language.
And also, they overlook it because it's a tragedy, and they're not sure if they can laugh at it, and we're trying to give them the fact that they can laugh at it. This is the opportunity to laugh at the silliness that is a 13-year-old and a 17-year-old meeting and getting married in 3 days.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just so fascinating. I'm also imagining a number of people out there who may be Shakespeare scholars who are intently listening to what you're saying and making interesting faces. But hasn't that sort of been an issue for a long time now? People fascinated by Shakespeare, thoroughly convinced that he is one of the best writers in the world. His plays are translated in every language. But always coming up against the language and trying to make it easier, make it flow better, make kids more attracted to it. But still people persist. He never goes away, does he?
It's because even some of the things, even some of the most seasoned people who've read all of Shakespeare's plays, who think that they understand everything there is to know about Shakespeare – don't get every single thing that is in his plays because it just was – it's not of our time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we just can't understand everything because it's not of our time. And it's just – it goes over a lot of people's heads. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are things people said 20 years ago that you may not catch the references to. Exactly.
Oh, and there's still conspiracies as to whether or not he actually wrote these plays or he paid people to write them, you know, this and that. And, you know, we don't even go into that.
We're going to have people calling the studio.
I'm sure you will. Said that. Yeah, no, definitely. Oh, but there are movies made about that and things like that. Yeah. But we don't focus on that at all. We focus on the story, the fact that it's one of the most original love stories and that it sprouted pretty much everything else afterward when it comes to love. You know, I mean, it's about that. It's about two people falling in love.
How could we fall in love without Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's talk just a bit about this play. I want to tell people who may be tuning in. My guests are Andrew Lee Vincent, Caitlin Romero, and Brandy Champagne, who are part of the Tea Sippers. They will be performing The Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet by Shakespeare and Andrew Lee Vincent. Caitlin and Brandy are in high school. Are you both at Lafayette High?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and Andrew just graduated from Lafayette High.
Yes, ma'am.
So what characters are you all playing in this tragedy?
Good question.
Brandy,
why don't you answer that question for her?
We're actually not allowed to say which characters we're playing. It's actually more of like a secret casting.
All right. So people have to show up and then figure out who's who. And
right. There's a lot of audience participation. There's a lot of improv. There's a lot of things that we really don't know what's going to happen until the moment comes. Okay.
So needless to say, if you're coming, you need to be prepared to participate and get excited.
Or can you reserve tickets in the back of the theater? Where is this being performed? How far back can you sit?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be at Theater 810, so you actually can't get very far away from the performance.
You're pretty much on top of the stage.
Yeah. Well, you probably should get your tickets anyway because there are only 50 seats per performance, so good idea to reserve them. It opens on Thursday evening and runs through Sunday. Mm-hmm. How many performances altogether?
Four here, one in Sunset. There's a new venue called La Place de Chanticleer that seats about 620 people in the round.
No problem. Y'all going to fill that?
Of course. And that performance in Sunset is next Friday, which is the 23rd. Mm-hmm. But here we have four performances, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m.
Right. How did you prepare for this kind of secret casting? What sort of theatrical exercises and preparation have you done?
It's mostly about getting them energized. I feel like I can't say them, like the grand them. It's most about getting them energized and really ready to go roll with the punches. Because if you're not ready to roll with punches, this isn't the right show for you.
Okay. And you're talking about audience? You're talking about people who might be in the audience or those unnamed secret
people?
Pretty much both.
Okay.
Yeah, the cast. We'll just call them the cast.
Huge quotation marks around that.
They have to be prepared for really anything to happen, whether it's someone in the audience saying something or someone in the audience doing something. You know, not within reason because you can't really predict anything, but they've been trained to just let whatever happens happen.
Were you at all inspired by the complete works of William Shakespeare?
Abridged? Is that what you're talking about? In high school, we were in rehearsals for that show for a long time, and it actually never happened. But
I'm just thinking when you said be prepared for anything.
That show definitely has that. Yeah. I want to say no, but it's in my life, so I'm sure at some point.
Somewhere it's all mixed up.
Like a big pot of crazy. Mm-hmm, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
So what about costumes? What's happening? Is that a big secret too?
Well, we have costumes set out for certain people. We're not exactly sure how they're going to get on their bodies or exactly who's going to be wearing them as of yet. Mm-hmm. So That's really all we can say about it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess advertising for this show is a lot harder than you think because they want information, but what can
we
give
them? You
don't
want to give the information.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you don't want to scare your potential audience away.
No.
So you're not going to be like dragging people out of the
stands. No, I mean, there won't be flames or, yes. you know, mm-hmm. anything like that. I don't know. You okay. know, like, I mean, it's not going to be anything that
harms them.
We're
not going to force you to do anything you don't want to do.
Okay, so just a glare at them and they'll
right.
leave you
exactly.
alone.
Okay. Well, we performed at Art Walk this past Saturday and we did almost like a Mad Lib thing where we pulled two people from the audience who were not planted. They were random people to play Romeo and Juliet. And, of course, Juliet was also played by a man. And what we did is we asked the audience for suggestions of where they are, what happens next, what do they say here. And it was extremely successful. They really loved it. They really bought it. They really liked it a lot. I'm trying to think. It went over really well. It was our first real experiment with – a live and just random audience.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. Yeah,
really well.
It really, really worked.
Right. So you can get your tickets now for this and be prepared for either observing or participating. It sounds like you may want to participate if it was so much fun. But, you know, it's really part of pop culture. Even though we talk about how difficult the language is, you know, cartoons, the earliest cartoons were using Shakespearean references. And we all know Romeo and Juliet,
right.
however that came into our consciousness. And we have some sense of what that means, some symbolic sense of what they mean. So you could pull almost any random person out of a crowd and mm-hmm. they would have a response, I guess, to Romeo and Juliet.
Right. And the characters are so fun to play with. I think that was something that drew me into it.
Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite character in the play?
The nurse, the friar, and Mercutio. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who you can fall in love with the most. I mean, Romeo and Juliet, yeah, I mean, they're the main characters. But that you have to have those characters that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And in Mercutio, you know, he dies in the play. You know, it's written that he dies. But you fall in love with him before. And I have a giant infatuation with characters and being able to do it with them, whatever. And because this play's, you know, so old, you can do whatever you want with this mm-hmm. story. You can do whatever you want with these characters.
It's not going to rise up and say, Andrew Lee Vincent,
yeah,
you
yeah.
shall not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well,
let's hope not.
Brandy, what characters do you like in Romeo and Juliet?
I think my favorite is probably between, like, Mercutio and Benvolio mm-hmm. because I guess of their relationship out of the whole show, like, no matter what you do with the story, their relationship is always going to be pretty much the same, which
mm-hmm.
I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And Caitlin?
Well, in the original version, I'd probably say that my favorite character is Mercutio, but in our version, I probably prefer Capulet better. I think that
the father.
The father.
Juliet's father.
Yeah, he's certainly something to be had in this one. So mm-hmm. he really brings a certain – I can't say – what can I say
you
about him
without –
You can't
even say anything without
giving
it
away.
I like
well,
him.
I mean, if anyone who saw the Zeffirelli movie,
right.
I mean, you can tell that he really likes that character as mm-hmm. well. And he's quite boisterous and quite expressive.
And what was really fun to play with Capulet is he he's the head of the household, so he can do whatever he wants. And in our version, he's in more than one predicament at a time.
Oh, okay.
These different crazy things happen to him. Someone gets lost. You know, his daughter is being pursued by his nephew. It just different things. And it, like you said, it's all interpreted differently. As if, you know, what if that would happen today? What if someone's nephew wanted to marry, you know, their cousin? How would you interpret that?
Mm-hmm.
What would go over that?
The one character that you all three mentioned is Mercutio, and not everybody may be as familiar with him. Would someone like to describe him?
Mercutio is, well, everyone knows Romeo. Romeo has a best friend. His best friend is Benvolio. However, they have a third best friend whose name is Mercutio, who is totally up to interpretation, but may or may not be a little, I'm going to just say out there.
Right.
I don't want to say.
He's the best friend that, in the way we interpret him at least, he's the best friend that will do almost anything to get mm-hmm. to get attention, but he's the most loving. You know,
he's the most loyal.
Right, exactly. You can count on him for anything. And because of that, you can fall in love with this person. He's very expressive. He's very
kind of fearless too.
Right, exactly.
He's a very powerful character. He's just like that person in your life who you know Everyone always wants to have them at the party because they're really fun to have around. But they're not only fun to have around. They're a great person.
Right.
They're really loyal, and they're there for you at any point in time you need. And really, all of the characters in this play are so relatable. They translate into now, and you can take any of them and almost pinpoint them on one of your friends. It's a universal character cast.
Right.
Maybe you've just described why we're still talking about Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Again, I'm talking with members of the group The Tea Sippers, Andrew Lee Vincent, Caitlin Romero, and Brandy Champagne. They will open Shakespeare's The Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet with some twists added in by Andrew and I guess all of you when you're acting in it and some audience participation. It will run Thursday through Sunday here in Lafayette at Theater 810 and then on the 23rd in Sunset. So you have a number of opportunities to see this, participate in it, and get to know a bit more about these characters they're talking about, a little more about Shakespeare, maybe gain a new understanding of Shakespeare. Anything else to try and convince people they should go and see the performance?
If you can't make the dates of the Theater 810 performances, I would definitely say that you should come and check out La Place de Chanticleer because it's a very, very interesting space.
How is
it
set up?
It's a theater in the round, and it's just a beautiful theater. It seats 600, like we said, and it's beautiful. And I don't think this is one of the first performances they're going to have for a theater group, so it's definitely something to be seen.
It's also not very far from where we are. It's actually only about like 15 minutes out, so. Mm-hmm. It's a great opportunity.
And the way I see it, people drive to St. Martinville. They'll drive to Opelousas. People will drive all sorts of places to see plays. This is a venue that most people haven't seen as a venue. They've either seen it as the old rooster fighting ring or been there for wrestling matches or things like that. But this is what theater is. It's in the round. It's a minimal space. We're very close to the audience, but at the same time, if you're at the top, you're very far away. It's very expressive. I just love it. Mm-hmm. When we first saw it, we drove up and I thought, what is this giant tin building? Where are we going? And we get in and it's not what you expect at all. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Well, and the other communities you mentioned have had a community theater for quite a long time, where Sunset has not. So
right,
this is something new for Sunset, and you all are helping to inaugurate that. How do people get tickets for that performance? Just show up? I guess with 600 seats,
absolutely.
You don't really have
just,
to reserve.
Just show up. It's the address is 238 Napoleon Avenue in Sunset. Okay. And, if you show up, the tickets are cheaper there at that one. It'll only be $5 versus Theater 810, where it will be $10. Okay.
And for getting those tickets, you can call them or go to their Eventbrite site.
Yes.
Go to the website, Theater 810, and you can reserve your tickets
that way.
Or call them, and they'll reserve them for you.
Absolutely.
Again, we're talking about The Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet, transformed Shakespeare's play by my guest, Andrew Lee Vincent, along with us also Caitlin Romero and Brandy Champagne, all members of the Tea Sippers Theater Group. And are you looking ahead to the fall? Do you have something in mind?
We have a lot of exciting productions. Mm-hmm. Brandy, why don't you go ahead and tell them about the next thing?
Okay, the next production that we're doing is actually a play called The Skin of Our Teeth by Thornton Wilder. And I will be directing that mainly with the help of them. And auditions are going to be October 11th, and then the production will be in January, which is going to be really great.
And then we're going out with a very big bang this year. It'll actually be in the middle of 2014. In June, at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, we will be putting on Stephen Sondheim's and James Lapine's Into the Woods. It's a very, very popular musical, and those of you who don't know about it, you will in June. But auditions for that will be in March, and we're really excited. So we have a very big lineup coming, so.
Okay.
We will be back.
Well, amazing work that you all have done starting at the beginning of your high school careers and continuing, obviously, continuing to bring classic theater, sophisticated, humorous theater. And it's really just amazing to see you all adding to this wonderful mix of theater in our community. The Tea Sippers, you can find a Facebook presence as well. Just look up Tea Sippers.
Tea Sippers Theater Company, and we're right there online.
Okay. Find that, and you can get more information about upcoming performances and about these performances this week. Weekend at Theater 810 in Lafayette and in Sunset. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.